What's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to the
Pre-Dental Podcast. Oh, that was weak. One more time. Oh, yeah.
There we go. That's how it is. First, you don't succeed. Give up.
Just quit.
That's what I always said.
Stop.
So, anyways, this is our introduction. This is the part of the podcast where we say things before we get to the main topic.
And we're saying things. It is so hot outside. I don't know where y'all are listening from, but we're in New Orleans, of course, and it's about like devil's butt crack outside right now, and it's awful.
It's about 1,000 degrees outside.
At least. I mean, you could bake a honey-baked ham out there, for Pete's sake.
You could bake a honey-baked ham, or another baked good. Like a cake, because you have a birthday coming up.
I do have a birthday coming up, so I expect many a cake in my mailbox pretty soon.
And if you're like Clayton, wear sunscreen. Clayton burns just thinking about the sun.
I literally lie in bed at night worrying that the moon is going to pierce through the window and just bake my skin.
So this episode is brought to you by sunscreen.
SPF Ginger. Make sure you put it on.
Yeah, I mean, I almost burned yesterday, and I literally
never
burned.
And you're Italian.
I know. I literally never burn.
Yeah.
It was crazy. We were out on the lake all day, or the river. I don't know what they call them down here.
We have rivers and lakes in Arkansas, but down here they just have bayous.
Booze.
With the gators.
Lots of booze, too.
They got the gators down here. Anyway, this episode's a little bit different. It's going to be an interview between two different people. Their names, Clayton and Marco.
Coincidentally. They have the same names as us, and they also sound
just like us.
So
they sound just like us. I don't know who these people are, but they impersonate us very well. But yeah, so it's gonna be an interview between Clayton and Marco here, and I'm going to be asking Marco about some cool externships that he did.
Yeah, because we did an episode recently that was Nurse Clayton.
And Marco got jealous.
And I did get jealous, and I said, I want an episode.
I want my own episode.
It's actually not what happened.
It did. But it's very important that y'all learn about these externships, because Marco did one pretty early in his D1 year, so it's good to know about them coming in, because you may be able to do one pretty early in your D1 year. So, without further ado, the interview.
Hello.
Marco. Oh, wait. Sorry.
That's me. Also known as Lieutenant McSurgery.
That's going to be if that's not the title of this episode, if you're not listening to the episode right now and the title isn't Lieutenant McSurgery, just turn it off. Like, something went terribly wrong and Marco threw a fit or something. But
there we go.
That's what I like to call him, is Lieutenant McSurgery, because he's in the National Guard and he wants to go into oral surgery. So
here we are.
Lieutenant McSurgery. Marco, what is an externship?
So an externship is an opportunity while you're in dental school to just get an introduction to the residency that you're interested in. Now, some specialties require them, some don't, but either way, they're just a good opportunity to see if that specialty is something that you're interested in. This goes beyond the rotations that your program probably has for specialties. Like, I know LSU, we do 2 weeks in each specialty rotating out. And that's an introduction to see if we're interested in specializing, but an externship is just an additional opportunity. So as Clayton said, this episode is going to be about OMS, or some people call it OMFS. So that's oral and maxillofacial surgery. I've done 2 externships as of today's date, so we're just going to be talking about those and giving you guys an insight of what to expect, what to do, what to not do, and how to move forward.
I'm very excited to learn about these externship type things. So, where all did you go in your externships?
So it's actually crazy. So we got off for Mardi Gras. That was our spring break. And I have a lot of family in New York. That's actually where I'm from originally. So I went to Weill Cornell Medical Center at New York Presbyterian in Manhattan. So my family lives in Brooklyn, so I just commuted in each day. And it's crazy because New York got hit so hard with COVID. But it also hit Louisiana pretty bad because of Mardi Gras. So it's weird that I went to New York and I was actually safer there than if I had just stayed home and partied all week. And then the second place that I've been, again, because of COVID, they've canceled pretty much all summer externships. However, I've been allowed to go to University Medical Center in New Orleans because that's an affiliate hospital of LSU School of Dentistry. So I've been with the LSU residents. and staff.
So have you been doing this externship while we've been in class?
So once you know that once we finished our didactics a couple weeks ago, we've just been doing operative a couple days a week. So we've had occlusion on Mondays, and then Tuesdays and Fridays we have operative. So that's left our Wednesdays and Thursdays open, and we really haven't had any studying going on. So one of my classmates, who's actually now my roommate, and I have been going on Wednesday and Thursday mornings to UMC to do the externship.
Awesome. So you talked about the one that you went to in New York. I know this isn't as much of a problem here in New Orleans, but did they cover the cost when you went to New York, and how do you get there?
Unfortunately, they did not. Oof. So you're responsible for the cost of any externship that you do. So there's not a fee that you have to pay. However, you have your travel, your food, your hotel, if that's necessary. And I mean, at most places, you're probably gonna have to stay somewhere unless you get super into ASDA and you go to conferences, although ASDA has canceled all their fall conferences. So NLC that they usually host in Chicago has been canceled, but hopefully annual session in the spring will still be a thing. But anyways, you are responsible for the travel and lodging and then your food. Although sometimes the programs will like help you for lunch, things like that. Like I know like one of the residents bought me lunch the other day at UMC. He was just being super nice. But any other spending that you have, and you're probably going to go to some pretty cool cities whenever you check these out. So at night, whenever you're done for the day, like you can go check out some of the local restaurants or do some sightseeing, things like that. But trying to get in touch with people in the areas can be very beneficial. But yeah, you are responsible for the cost. I thankfully had some family in Brooklyn, so I just commuted into the city each day. But that was also like an hour commute each day, each way.
So even though you have to pay for it, even though you do not get paid for it, would you still recommend it?
Yeah, absolutely. So people in my class especially asked me, you know, how did you get this opportunity? Right. And I always joke around and say, I asked nicely. But the thing is if you're interested in a specialty, look for opportunities for externships. I know that AMOS, which is the American Association of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeons, they have a 26-page doc that has every externship available. It notifies who you need to contact, you know, if they have restrictions. A lot of programs don't let first years be externs, and that's not something that I knew going into this. I wish I had known that previously. I probably wouldn't have done the Cornell externship because it was really cool to see the procedures, but it's also like some schools do gross anatomy in the spring. And I know that if I hadn't had gross anatomy at the dental school level, I would have had absolutely no clue
right.
what was going on. But it was actually recommended to me by some of the staff at LSU to wait until third year, like end of second year, beginning of third year, to do externships because you'll have more of a clinical foundation and knowledge as to what's going on. Now, I've bought a textbook that outlines, it's like an atlas, I guess you could say, of oral surgery procedures. So at night, I would read that for the procedures that we were going to do the next day, and that helped out a lot. So definitely look into like supplemental text. You don't have to buy a book. You can just look up the procedures online. But I don't want to say it's worthless to watch a procedure if you don't know what's going on, but you're going to learn a lot more if you know the general outline going into it. So yeah, if you want to get into these opportunities, just honestly, give it a Google and start emailing programs. And the key is to be nice because they'll probably remember who you are because there's not that many people that apply.
Right. So I know you say you don't recommend doing it D1 year because you really don't have any idea what's going on. But do you think further down the road, D3, D4 year, do you think having that on your resume and doing that externship, do you think it's going to help you?
I think so.
More externships.
So the advice that was given to me, and again, I didn't know this until after my New York experience, is that if you do them too early, one, it can take away the focus of your didactics. So if you're doing an externship, you might not be studying for a class where, and that could cost you a letter grade. And you know, your first 2 years, your grades are very important. But also when you go to an externship, you're expected to know a certain amount of things. And thankfully I had worked at an oral surgeon's office for a few years during undergrad, so that helped me out a lot. But you're also going to be judged, not that it's a contest or anything when you're there, But, you know, if you know a thing or two and you can impress the staff and the residents while you're there, that can make a huge difference when you apply. And also, you know, if you do an externship your third year, when you apply that next year, you're going to know some of the residents that were there and they can vouch for you going into it. Now, I've loved externing at UMC because it's an LSU program and the mindset there is a little bit different because we are LSU students. So instead of being expected to know things, we're there to learn and they're there to teach us. So that would be a huge thing that I recommend to first and second years is if you're interested in a specialty, then reach out to your school's program or whatever hospital they're affiliated with and get as much experience as possible because you can ask all the stupid questions in there. You can ask, you know, like right now studying for the CBSE, like what did you guys use? Like how did you go about it? You know, what is the day in the life of a resident? Like is your life truly hell like people make it out to be? And you know, there's different phases of it, but getting all of those silly questions out at your home program where they're expecting you to learn versus expecting you to know can make a huge difference.
Right.
So I would highly recommend that to anyone that's early on but still wants to get exposure.
Sure. So comparing Cornell to UMC, what was the big differences there?
So Cornell, first off, you can't do anything as an extern. So if you're looking to get a hands-on experience, then don't go to that program. And the packet that AMIS provides is pretty transparent about that. And that's another reason why you might want to wait until you're a D3, because once you're a third year and you've had clinical exposure, programs are much more likely to allow you to assist in their clinics, whether it's just pulling teeth or numbing up patients, or, you know, if like a dog bite victim or like serious trauma comes in and you need to suture up, like they're a lot more willing to hand that off to you. So oral surgery programs also have different focuses. So at UMC, there's a lot more trauma, a lot more mandibular fractures, a lot more just, I want to call them like uh-ohs.
Right.
Like someone gets in a car wreck, like you're going to see that patient more than likely.
That's versus, the technical term is uh-ohs.
Versus Cornell, it's a lot more elective procedures. So orthognactic, so you can give that one a Google. Yeah, orthognactic procedures. So people that want like jaw realignments and it goes in with orthodontic procedures and you're working with the orthodontist to like correct the way their jaw looks. And not to say that UMC doesn't do any of that, but it's a lot more common. So something else to look into at a program is like what is the socioeconomics around the area? Like, because if you're going into like a poor area, then you're probably going to see more trauma and you're not going to see near as much elective procedure versus if you're in a high-end area such as Manhattan, then you're going to see a lot more elective cosmetic procedures. And some programs do cancer, some don't really, but some it's like a huge emphasis. But I know like I was talking to some of the guys at Memphis and they said that they don't really do any cancer patients there, but they do a lot of trauma, plastics, things like that. So to get more specific on it, Cornell, the first day, oh my gosh, that was a logistical circus. Like, I'm convinced that the first day was just a litmus test to see if you could navigate your way around New York and like all the different buildings and like getting your security badge, finding out where everything is, all that stuff. But then for the rest of the week, we just spent all day in the OR watching procedures. So I highly recommend getting a pair of Crocs or surgical slides or just like, or surgical slippers, I guess I should say. Like, I wouldn't really wear running shoes because running shoes have like a soft base to them and your feet are just gonna kill you by the end of the day. So definitely wear something that's like firm and comfortable that you can be on your feet all day on, because you can't really just like sit down in the operating room. Like, you gotta stand there. But like I said, different programs have different emphases. So you get to see some really cool procedures though. You know, at UMC, it's been a lot more hands-on as far as like, all right, like, let's get this patient numbed up, let's pull some teeth, and allowing myself and my roommate to do some of that, you know, under the proper training and guidance, of course, but really getting a much more hands-on experience. And I would say typically in the South, you're going to get a lot more of that, because it also depends on the laws of the state that you're externing in. So New York has very strict laws. I mean, you can't even practice general dentistry without doing a GPR for a year, you know, there, which really limits the amount of dentists in the area, but they're still pretty busy to say the least. So yeah, up north, you're typically going to see more cosmetic procedures, and down south, you're going to see more trauma. So as you go along in your dental school career, it's just going to depend on what interests you more and also what you want to do out of school. So, you know, if you really want to go into academics or doing a fellowship after your residency, then a six-year program is probably going to be a lot better for you. But if you're just wanting to get out and your bread and butter is going to be wisdom teeth and implants, and then you're just going to take a call at the hospital, then you might really want to look at a four-year program at that point.
So just a few questions that I have, like just listening to you talk about it. So like shadowing compared to an externship, are those interchangeable terms or?
No. So shadowing is pretty much just like, hey, like I'm interested. I want to go see what you do for the day. So that can be at a private practice office. That can be at your school, but you're basically just following them around for a couple hours and they're talking to you, versus an externship. You are basically living the life of a resident. So if the residents are doing rounds at 6:30 in the morning, which is basically checking up on all the patients from the night before, or if patients were admitted the night before and it wasn't necessarily like an emergency where the resident had to be there, but like they still need to be seen, then you are doing the rounds at 6:30 in the morning with the residents. You're basically living the life of a resident for whether it's 1 week, 2 weeks, or a month. Different programs have different time frames that you can do.
And that was another question I had. So how long did you do it at Cornell?
So Cornell was just a week. It was Monday through Friday, and I was doing probably 10 to 12 hours a day. So it's very busy, like very, very busy. Don't expect to do too much else during that week, because by the time you're done, like you're just going to be exhausted. You don't want to sleep in the next day or anything, versus UMC, because of COVID, we're not going in every day because there's not stuff going on every day. However, the schedule is picking up, so it's doing that a couple times a week. And that's another benefit of doing an externship at your home program, is having the flexibility of scheduling. And they're going to be completely understanding. Like, I know yesterday and today, we were supposed to come in, but we did not because we had just finished D1 year. And they were like, no, guys, like, go out and celebrate. You know, just right. It's healthy. Like, you need to take a breather at some point. So I'm excited to get back into the clinic next week and see some procedures and hopefully help out with some procedures, get some assisting, potentially pull some teeth. But yeah, so I would say in general, if you're not doing your home program, 1 to 2 weeks is the standard. Some require 2 weeks, but again, go back to that document and it's going to tell you exactly what you need to know.
Awesome. Well, do you have anything else you would like to tell the people listening?
Yeah, there's, you know, the expression that common sense isn't so common. And this is something that I learned from just speaking with some of the residents, because at the end of the week, you know, like not trying to have like a humble brag or anything, but they're like, oh, like you were a really nice guy, like, you know, well-mannered, like you were on time. Like,
you obviously weren't there for very long.
But no, they just said that, you know, it was easy to get along with and things like that. And that goes a long way, especially if you're going to be applying to the program that you're externing at, which I think you should try and base your externships around programs that you would at least be interested in. So for me, I don't know if I necessarily want to go up north, but I have a lot of family around the area, so that is enticing to me. But the reason why I was talking about being well-mannered and things like that is because every once in a while, it doesn't happen too often, but every once in a while, you get an extern that comes in there and they think they know everything, and they're questioning the residents in front of their patients. They're not showing up on time. They're not being respectful of the staff. They're on their phone for the entire time while procedures are going on, and they're just not respecting the opportunity that's been given to them. And that shows very poorly. And you got to think, oral surgery, or even any specialty, I think there's only a little over 400 people,
it's a small community,
that apply.
Yeah.
And only about 50 to 55% of those get spots.
Right.
So they all go to the same conferences every year. Mm. They all generally work in the same community. You know, I mean, it's across the country, but, you know, if you need to reach out for help to someone, there's not that many people you can ask, so they all know each other.
Right.
So something else is that if someone does an externship twice at the same program, some programs will allow that while others won't. But, you know, if someone comes in and they're an awesome extern the first time that they do it and it's great, but then they come in again and they feel a sense of entitlement because they've been there, they know some of the staff, and they get like a cocky attitude. And, you know, whether it's an oral surgery externship or you're trying to get a job at Popeyes or something, like being cocky and just like not respectful of those around you is not going to get you far
never at all.
You know, always keep a humble attitude. And I know that sounds simple and I can't believe I have to say it, but that's a point that's been brought up to me by pretty much any resident that I've talked to, whether it's at LSU or Chicago or Memphis or
wherever,
New York. Like they're always like, yeah, I mean, like, because here's the deal, is that you have to have good statistics to get in. Like you have to have a good GPA, good class rank. The CBSE is like, I mean, you have to do well on that. Like you can't have a poor CBSE score and get in. It's not like the DAT where it's like, oh, it can be a little bit lower, but as long as you didn't like bomb it.
Yeah.
Like no, like you have to have a good CBSE score, which is for some programs, it's 65 and up. And then if it's a 6-year, it's usually 70 to 72 and up. And we can talk about the CBSE later, but once you have the statistics, here's how it's also been told to me every time, is once you get an interview somewhere, you are equal to everyone else in that room. It's not like dental school again, where it's like, okay, well, I had a 3.6 and Clayton had a 4.0. And yes, we both got an interview to dental school and like we have similar test scores, but Clayton's 4.0 is probably gonna carry him a little bit farther than my 3.6. When you're interviewing for oral surgery, once you get that interview, you're pretty much equal to everyone else in that room. They're not going to go back and say, oh, well, you know, Marco had a 75 on a CBSE, but Clayton had an 80. So, and not to say that good scores don't help you, but once you get there, they want to know who you are as a person, why you're wanting to do oral surgery, and then do they want to be around you for the next 4 to 6 years, because that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
You know, some programs only take 2 to 3 residents. I would say most programs only take 2 to 3 residents per year. LSU takes 4 per year, and we're considered a huge program.
Right.
Because we take 6 interns and then 4 per year at 6 years. So that's, I'm not doing math, but there's a lot of people in the program. So they want to know, can they be around you for those next 4 years? Because you have to interact daily. So just that's today's theme of today's episode, is be a good human.
Just be a good human being. Don't be a Lieutenant McSurgery.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't believe that nickname has caught on.
I knew it would.
After graduation, it's going to be Captain McSurgery.
Oh, give me a break.
Or Captain McGeneral Dennis.
We'll see. But I think we've covered quite a bit of stuff, but if y'all have any more questions for Lieutenant McSurgery or for myself, just be sure to reach out to us and we'll definitely try to get y'all hooked up with the right people to talk to, or we can give y'all our advice.
Absolutely. And by no means am I a professional or am I a resident or anything like that, but I've been having a lot of conversations with a lot of people because of something I'm interested in. And I just love passing that information on to you guys. And I'll be taking my CBSE exam in February. So as we get closer to that, I'm sure we'll make some podcasts talking about tips and study materials used and just the process that goes into that.
Definitely. Well, and I think it's good for the listeners too, because we have you who's Lieutenant McSurgery and we have me over here who's Lieutenant just get through dental school. So it's just, you know, it's just two different views. And so I think it's good for people.
Right. You know, it's crazy because a lot of dental schools switch to pass fail. Oh, you know what Texas A&M did?
No.
That was crazy. So again, this is, you know, you meet people online and you start talking to other students.
Strangers on the internet.
No, this was Malcolm.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy that went to LSU, but instead of going to LSU, he went to Texas A&M. I don't know why. Malcolm, you're a great guy if you're listening.
Love you, buddy. You laughed at my status and I like you.
But anyways, they did a thing where it wasn't necessarily pass fail, but it was like save or unsave. So I think it was like, if you weren't doing well in a class, you could switch it to pass fail, or you could just choose to not get grades for the semester and save like your class rank.
That's cool.
So it's like, if you had a 4 point in the fall, and then in the spring,
you were just bombing it,
bombing the bed there, and you decided you wanted to save your grades, then you could. I don't know the specifics of how it worked. However, LSU told us, no thank you.
They said, nope. Not even suck it.
Not even close. I know Kansas City switched to pass-fail as well, but it's really interesting because Clayton didn't know the difference.
I thought it's been pass-fail this entire time. Because a lot of people were like, oh my goodness, we don't get pass-fail. I'm like, it's literally pass-fail anyway. Like, and once you're in my seat, you know, I'm tired of school. I'm ready to graduate. I'm ready to be a general dentist. So pass-fail for CDOG. I'm ready.
Hey, do you know what they call the lowest ranked person in the class at graduation?
I think a dentist. Yep, and that's,
they call him or her doctor.
That's right.
Because as long as you pass and as long as you maintain the minimum GPA,
you're a doctor.
You are a doctor at the end of the 4 years, which is kind of crazy. Don't completely slack around, because that's not what's best for your patients.
Yeah.
But you do not have to stress and pry over every single little grade.
No. And I, you know, Marco and I lived together for a year. I don't think Marco saw me stress too often. So I...
Clayton, you studied... I think you put in a total of 8 hours of studying for 4 physiology exams.
That sounds about right.
I studied 16 hours for one exam. Yes. And you made an A in the class.
That's right. If you need any advice on pass-fail, just contact me and I can give you some advice.
Right, and if you need advice on stress relief techniques, let me know.
That's right. All right, well, if y'all have any more questions for Lieutenant McSurgery, just be sure to reach out to us. And you have been listening to the...
Let's start over.
And you have been listening... Okay. I'm tired of this guy. This is why we freaking call him Lieutenant McSurgery. It's a freaking pre-dental podcast, and just listen to some more of our podcast. We'll talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
High five.